This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
And today, another candidate interview, incumbent Cliff Bentz from U.S. House District 2. And first time we've covered District 2 because, of course, after the boundary changes, it is now encompassing part of Douglas County, part of the county remaining in the 4th District, part of it now in the 2nd District. And the congressman joins us from Ontario this afternoon. Thank you for being on today.
Well, thanks for the opportunity, Kyle. I really appreciate it.
So let's start at the beginning. Tell us a bit about yourself, your background, your career, some of the things you've done.
So I'm a third-generation Oregonian from a cattle ranch down in the southeastern part of the state, and then went to Eastern Oregon State College, graduated, went on to law school. I came back, practiced law in Ontario for about 30 years, went into the Oregon legislature for 10 years in the House, 2 years in the Senate. That was after serving during my law practice. I served on the Oregon Water Resource Commission for 8 years. And also during the time I was practicing law, I was on the school board here in Ontario for 3 years. And so when Greg Walden decided to step down, I ran for his position, was elected, and I'm just finishing or close to finishing my second year in Congress. I specialize in water law and also in reorganizing family businesses. I did a lot of trial work early in my practice. I'm on two committees. Right now I'm on the Natural Resource Committee, and I serve as the ranking member on the subcommittee on water, oceans, and wildlife. And then I'm also on judiciary, and I'm on the subcommittee on antitrust and a subcommittee on intellectual property. And there you have it.
Wait a minute.
I'm sorry, Kyle. I left out my wife, most important person in my life, Dr. Lindsay Norman. She's a veterinarian, and she would never forgive me if I left her out. She's the best.
I've got to be curious and ask a question about how you grow up in Ontario and that area and end up becoming an attorney, yet with all these agricultural components. What led to you being interested in law?
So actually, I grew up on a cattle ranch about 100 miles away from Ontario. But our ranch, I had an older sister and 5 younger brothers, and lots of debt that we helped pay off that was generated to acquire the ranch properties. And in that exercise, we dealt a lot with the Forest Service. We dealt a lot with the BLM, a lot with water-related issues. And it became apparent very, very early in my life that the government had an awful lot to say about what we did as ranchers. And it seemed to me that the best way to understand that area was to go get a law degree and then come back and focus on water and other issues of that nature. So I did that. My goal ultimately was to get right where I am into Congress somehow. I never really focused on that as the final step. I focused on each step as I went along, trying to be the best in those spaces, and the future kind of took care of itself.
Now, with the time in the Oregon State Legislature, what would you say were your greatest successes there?
Well, I should point out that although I was in the Oregon Legislature for 12 years, I was not one day in the majority. I'm a Republican, and I'm very, very, very proud to be a Republican. And I think some of my greatest successes would include my ability to help put together a couple of the transportation-related bills so that they recognized the need to keep prices for gas tax and whatnot low, while at the same time putting money into our rural counties so that we have roads and bridges. As you probably know, my second district, much like my House and Senate district, was the largest around. I think it's about two-thirds. Actually, it's over two-thirds of Oregon now that we have up near Roseburg. You need roads. We need roads. We need bridges if we're going to get around in these great big spaces. And so I think one of my biggest successes was that. Also, I along with 10 of my Senate colleagues, left the state of Oregon to stop the cap and trade bill that that Kay Brown and various Democrats are trying to bring. And we stopped it. She's now, I think, trying to do it administratively, which I think is incorrect. But, you know, in 12 years, you do a lot of things, but I'll just throw out those two.
So after the time in the legislature, getting more seniority there, why make the move to the U.S. Congress?
Well, that's really an excellent question, but it seemed to me as I watched the federal issues, particularly their impact on our schools and our kids, and as I watched the federal impact, particularly in an area as big as the 2nd Congressional District of the federal government in the Forest Service and in the Bureau of Land Management, it seemed to me that my background in water and in timber lent itself to stepping into the huge shoes that Greg Walden leaves to fill, to try to address some of the issues of fire and water that are on the table every day in the farm and ranch and communities across ranching communities, and actually every community, whether it's Medford, Roseburg, Grants Pass, Bend, Redmond, which by the way won't be in my district, Bend and Redmond after this December, but all of those communities are affected by water and fire, and I thought I could do more in the federal space.
Let's frame up the part about the border changes for this district. You've got part of Douglas County now. You mentioned part of the Bend area no longer being in your district. Where are some of the other border changes?
Probably the biggest change, other than taking in way more space in Douglas County and all now of Josephine County, was the removal of the Bend-Redmond area, about half of Deschutes County, and also the removal of Hood River County entirely. Hood River County now is part of Portland, essentially, when it comes to their federal representation. Earl Blumenauer, Congressman Blumenauer, is running for that space, and I think he'll probably win. So that's a huge shift, I think, for the people in the Hood River area. So that's kind of where the lines now are. My district went from a 10% Republican advantage over Democratic folks to a 24% Republican advantage, it seemed that the Democrats who drew those lines were trying to push most of the Republicans into my district.
What has it been like in Washington, D.C. the past 2 years? Not only are you new to Congress, but oh, by the way, we've got a pandemic.
Well, it's quite a change, but from the Oregon legislature, in the sense that it's so much bigger. I mean, there's 435 congressmen and women, and in the Oregon legislature, the number was about a quarter of that. And so, just you have so many more people to deal with. I'll tell you, going in and trying to learn the names of the 212 other Republican congressmen and women when they're wearing masks. So you have to memorize their hairdos, basically, to figure out who they are. Quite a challenge. And I'm very happy that that's behind us now and we can actually see people's faces. The some of the things that they did, taking 30 minutes to vote on each bill. I mean, we were literally, this is the truth, walking 6 to 7 miles a day back and forth between our offices and the floor in order to vote. They wanted to separate the votes by 30 minutes because of COVID. And some of those things I thought were ridiculous, to be honest with you. But we're not doing that anymore. We're back now finally to 5-minute votes. So you need to go in and be actually prepared and you can get you can get through the materials and then get back to working on other issues.
What are the areas of legislation that you focused on in the last 2 years?
Well, of course, you have to focus on all of the votes that are coming at you like a freight train, and to make sure you're at least cognizant as you can be with the sheer volume of votes. But I focused on water and on forest policy, along with, oddly enough, I was pushed into the debate on breaking up big tech and in the Judiciary Committee, the antitrust sub. So about 2 months, actually a few days after I got there, I found myself debating whether or not, or engaged in the debate of whether or not Facebook and Google and Amazon and Microsoft should remain as they currently are, or be restricted in growth, or perhaps even broken up. So those are the areas that some of the so many areas. I think I've voted over 2,000 times easily if you count votes in committee and on the floor since I got there.
All right, we're going to take a break on Inside Douglas County. Back with more in a moment. The interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com. 1245 Inside Douglas County on News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1247, Lars Larson coming up at 1. Umpqua Valley Live, part of KQEN Local Talk at 4. Later this afternoon, as we look at arts, entertainment, and community events around the Umpqua Valley, including our interview with blues artist ZZ Ward. That'll be this afternoon at 4 o'clock. More candidate interviews next week on Inside Douglas County. Incumbent Cliff Bentz, Republican, serving the U.S. House District 2, on with us now from Ontario. Being a freshman in a place where power is so much held by those who've got a lot of seniority has got to be an interesting experience. What was that like walking in the door?
Well, since I have experience in the Oregon legislature for all those years, I'm accustomed to sorting out who it is that's actually making the decisions and then figuring out how best to weigh in and make sure our voice is heard. And so that experience is absolutely invaluable. I will tell you that when I got there, I was immediately asked by the ranking member, who I hope is soon chair, of the Natural Resource Committee, Bruce Westerman from Arkansas. He asked me if I would be willing to serve as ranking member on water, the subcommittee, one of the subcommittees on natural resources. And I, of course, agreed. And so I'm immediately moving into a ranking position. And a lot of that was based upon my experience in the Oregon legislature, my experience on a state commission, and the fact that I litigated water rights cases. And so these kinds of things are recognized in Congress, and you'll move into positions where you will be listened to if you've got that kind of experience.
Going into your next term, if you're reelected, are there particular areas or maybe even changes in committee assignments you'd hope to see?
Well, it's a great question. I'll just say that I want to stay on natural resources. It's my hope that I'll be chair of Water, Oceans, and Wildlife if we Republicans take the majority. Excuse me. And I also think I'll probably stay on Judiciary. And one of the reasons I'm pleased to be there is because Judiciary manages such things as immigration. It manages such things, as I mentioned earlier, as antitrust. And those kind of spaces are extraordinarily important. And they're also Judiciary and Water, the Natural Resource Subcommittee I'm on, have an oversight opportunity to call people in and say, why are you doing these crazy things? By people, I mean the bureaucrats, and call them in and say, what are you doing? And when you don't control the presidency, you want to have that power. More to the point, you want to have a background, as I do in litigation, so I can hold my own in Judiciary, I'm happy to say. Jim Jordan just called me yesterday, and sadly I was on an airplane, but he left a message encouraging me to look at certain things that we'll be focusing on here in the lame duck session. At least I hope it's a lame duck session.
Let's talk about some of the current issues. How do you deal with inflation, which is going on right now?
Inflation attacks on every person in America, and most people probably haven't, I'm sure they realize that they've lost about a month's worth of wages to 8% inflation. What you do about it is you quickly address what's driving the prices of things up, and I would start with fuel. I'd start with diesel, and you go by, I was just in California, and diesel is $7 a gallon in many places, $7, and you wonder why it's so expensive to harvest crops, to pay for trucks driving freight down the road and getting stuff to grocery stores. So the first thing you do is get more fuel. And by that, go in and where our refineries have been threatened to close down, help the refineries stay open and get back in to drilling and producing gas and oil so we can reduce the cost of fuel. And also, quit the crazy government spending. I mean, one of the reasons we have inflation is the $1.9 trillion that was dumped into the economy a year ago last March, that helicopter money, I call it. We shouldn't be stop the spending. And of course, try to do something about some of the unions that are driving up the costs by slowing down the flow of goods into America. These are the kind of things that need attention.
What about the national debt? You've talked about spending. We've seen it grow. How do you address that?
So the first thing, I think Republicans and Democrats both need to shoulder responsibility for not restraining themselves when it comes to spending. This is a problem that both parties seem to share. And I will just tell you, in my 2 years, I can't count the number of people that have come into my office asking for money. Literally, I can't. It's astounding. And so what you have to do is start saying no, which I've been doing. And I'm not a very popular guy with a lot of folks that have come in and said, hey, we want you to help us with this or help us with that. So that's one thing. Try to slow down the spending, and that's what you try to do when you're in my position.
What about federal forest policy as it impacts rural Oregon? What changes would you like to see there?
Well, what we have to do is to build on some of the things that address the way the Endangered Species Act works. And I'm not suggesting that we repeal it. I don't think that's possible. But you can go in and work within it to try to get back into the woods and begin to reduce the amount of fuel that's built up there. And to that end, I just finished meeting with the head of the National Forest just a couple of days before I came back this direction, late September, early October, and talked to him about how in the world to increase the amount of harvest from our forests, but at the same time, how to get back into the woods and start reducing the amount of fuel. And that will require mechanical thinning. I know those words are an anathema to Democrats, but we've got literally 90 million acres of wood out there, and we've got to get on a scale basis back into the woods and start driving down the amount of fuel that's there.
Education eats up a big chunk of both Oregon and the national budget. Are there changes in federal education policy or what's going on that you'd like?
Well, of course, I've joined my Republican colleagues in wanting to get rid of the critical race theory focus that seems to be around. But I want to point out, I was on a school board for 3 years, and I understand that each school board is the ones right on the ground floor and have to deal with these kinds of issues. What I think is extraordinarily important is try to focus on school choice and try to give everybody an opportunity to go someplace where they're actually going to get educated. It's an embarrassment, a national embarrassment of where Oregon is right now with its kids. What are we, fifth from the bottom, and we have to do something about that. I think school choice would be a very, very positive place to start.
What about international conflicts? I mean, we're watching the Russia-Ukraine situation. There are other potential issues out there. What should the role of the U.S. government be in addressing these things as they come up?
Right. Well, I voted twice to support Ukraine's fight against Russia's incredibly belligerent and totally wrong invasion of that country. I would say, and I have said to leadership and other folks that have a background in the military, I don't, but they do, and I've said, hey, why hasn't the Biden administration come out with a plan? Where are we going with this? You just can't keep throwing money at a problem without knowing which direction you're going to go. And so I've been really, really discouraged with how the Biden administration is approaching it. I support help to Ukraine, but we've got to have a plan.
As you travel around the district, what are you hearing as the top concerns of your constituents?
Inflation, the cost of fuel, the cost of fertilizer, the cost of anything when you go into the hardware store, the cost of a steel post. I built a lot of fence on the ranch. I could not believe what a single steel post now costs, $5-6. I mean, these kinds of, or a roll of barbed wire, I was astounded at some of the costs. And these kinds of things need to be addressed aggressively, and that means doing things that drive down prices. I don't know why California persists, or Oregon for that matter, in imposing the cost of all these environmental costs on their fuel. The goal of many of these clean fuel programs was drive up the cost. Well, that's happened. So why don't we have a lengthy holiday on these environmental costs that are imposed on fuel?
What do you think in terms of Republican gains in Congress here in the midterms? Some prognosticators are going back and forth. What kind of wave or lack of it do you expect?
Well, I think every time someone goes to the grocery store or fills up with gas, they go, why in the world don't we have Republicans in office? And that's why I think you see, for the first time in a long time, in across the congressional space here in Oregon and in the gubernatorial race, people saying, hey, we've had enough of this Democrat so-called leadership. It's time to change. And I think that's good. And I'm very hopeful that we'll see a substantial number of Republicans elected so that we can step in and start doing some of the things we've been talking about. Which astounds me that the Democrats persist in preventing us from going into the forest and removing this crazy amount of fuel that's built up over the past 50, 60 years, putting all our communities at risk. And that's just one thing that's happening that should not be happening. So inflation, fire, and then, of course, a more balanced use of water.
And real quick, as we wrap up, tell folks where your website is, where they can find out more about you.
Yeah, it's cliffbentz.com. And please go take a look at our website.
Congressman Cliff Bentz, Republican representing U.S. House District 2. Thanks for being on today.
Thank you so much.
1258 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.